This episode of the Start Time Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/paranormal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. S-T-A-R-Y. N-I-G-H.
Brandon, you won't.
Oh, I almost supposed to start. Let's try that. S-T-A-R-Y-T-I-M-E.
I don't. When you take breaks, Brandon, I always think it's my turn.
Nope.
Like you. S-T.
You know the song, S-T. Saturday song? S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night? I'm trying to do starry time.
What's the one that goes S-M-T-Q-M-I-C-M-A-M-A? What is that one?
I don't know.
Mickey. Oh, yeah. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
What is it?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. Okay. Yeah, all right. So let's just try this. S-T-A-R-Y-T-I-M-E. Starry time.
No.
Okay. All right.
You know what?
Nothing. Welcome to the Starry Time Podcast with Brandon Dave.
Nothing emphasizes that we only have one R like that.
Oh,
even in that song, it would be better because it would even out the distribution of you saying it. It seems like an insert early.
So it's Wednesday.
Brandon, I got one question. Have we ever had a time where we're like, oh, good thing we have just the one R. Like, that saved us that time.
I don't think I'm ever thankful for for the one R.
It seems like it's only done negative things, but it's fine.
Dave, it's Wednesday, April the 6th. Let me tell you what happened on Tuesday, April 5th. I woke up, my alarm went off. I went and got my coffee.
No, Brandon.
No, hold on. Let me tell my side of the story, please.
I don't want any side of it.
I'm just going to tell the story as if my alarm goes off at 6 a.m. I get out of bed. My coffee makes automatically. So I go and I get myself my coffee. I make my wife coffee. And by make, I mean I pour it. Hers, because she likes it black. I don't. None of this is important. I go back. I give her the coffee. I read a little Bible, and then I get ready to do the start. This is my morning.
Are you showing off, Brent?
No, I'm just. I just want people to know what I do every morning. So no. I get to 6:30, and that's when we record the start time news every morning. We do it every morning, 6:30 a.m. And I always send Dave a text at around 6:28 a.m. that say, what does it say? Holla when you're ready with an emoji at the end of it. Just because
it's always... It's a little earlier than that. Usually it's like the 18, right?
No, it's in the 20s. It's like 6:25 or after.
Okay. Anyways, continue.
So anyways, I usually get a text back from Dave at around 6:30 to 6:33. Yesterday... 6:35 comes around and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. A little bit later, 6:40 comes around, 6:45. I start to fall back asleep and, I finally get out of bed.
I
finally get out of bed. I take a shower. I go into work and 8:30 comes around and I hear from Dave finally. And I'm worried at this point. I'm worried. I'm driving to work and I'm like, I'm praying for Dave. I'm like, gosh, I hope everything's okay with him.
You
like,
were not worried. Don't even
hedge of protection around him and
just
worried about
your Bible time. Then you prayed for me like a little spiritual man.
I was worried about you. Get a text from Dave at 8:30 saying I forgot to plug in my phone. So sorry, yesterday was all Dave's fault, is what I'm trying to say.
Brandon, let's just. I get a side, right?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, here's the real side. So, I'm going to go through what my mornings are like.
But I just want to point out, when you say the real side, you are implying that my side's wrong, which it's not, because all of that's true.
No, it's not so much. Okay, you're right. That was poor choice of words. What I mean is the pertinent side, the side that is of
so my side's right, but just less important.
Everything that you said is not why we didn't have it. It's just what you were doing while we didn't have it.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. We're not going to argue about this at this point.
Anyways, so here's how my mornings usually go. I'm sleeping. I hear a bell. And it's Brand texted me. And then we start doing the Starry Time news.
Yes.
My mornings are a little shorter. So the impressive thing in all this is that consecutively, I have woken up exactly when Brand is like, let's do Starry Time, and just was good to go. Even on days where I was taking Robitussin between sentences. And what happened this time around is that I was up till 2 a.m. working, doing my job. And sure, right before I went to bed, I went on Instagram, and I even liked Brand, one of his photos, to let him know, hey, Brand, let me tag you at 2 a.m. to let you know how late I was up at.
Well, and yes, that's not comforting at all. At this point, I'm like, oh, no, Dave's out in the mean streets of Brooklyn at 2 a.m. getting kidnapped Instagram.
Who gets on Instagram out in Brooklyn? I don't do that until I'm in bedtime's time.
Okay.
But it's not odd for me. I usually go to bed between 1:30. So 2 is only 30 minutes later than that, which is also why I'm waking up at 6:30 every morning.
Was the week I was in New York the earliest you ever went to bed? Because we were in bed at like midnight every night.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Brent. You only how many nights did you even spend?
3 nights. That's not important. Go ahead.
No. I'm talking about where I was there. I think 2. One at my place. One at the other. Yes. Both times we were watching something. You fell asleep while I was still watching it.
Right. So I don't do a good job.
So I did still stay up till 1 on those nights. Anyways, that being said, yesterday, 2 came around. I was so tired, I jumped into bed, didn't plug my phone in, and didn't realize that it was almost going to die. And so when I woke up, it was about, I don't know, 8:10. And I looked and I was like, what time is it? I looked at my phone, it wouldn't turn on. I was like, I have no idea what time it is. It took me like, I didn't even know how late I was. I was like, I wonder if I missed Starry Time. Like, he's kind of confused because I don't have another source of time easily accessible from that vantage point, because I have a loft bed. Anyways, so I plug it in.
God forbid you get out of bed.
It takes like forever for the thing to turn back on. But about that point, I just decided to climb down and see what time it was, realized how late it was. And I was like, oh, I bet Brand is curious. So then finally my phone.
You have no idea.
And I
had been in my war room interceding on your behalf for the last 2 hours.
Oh, Lordy, Brand. You knew I was safe at 2. How much could have happened in 4 hours?
I didn't know you were a like on Instagram at 2 a.m. is not as comforting as you think it is, Dave.
Did you think that was a 911 call? I was just like, Dave, help me. I'm at 2 a.m. liking. You know, that's bad.
I didn't know what to do.
Anyways, well, you didn't text me to see if I was okay then. So it seems like we're even. Anyways, all that to say.
Because I wasn't up then.
I have an end point for this, Brand. I was talking to my girlfriend today, and I was saying, she said, where's the news today? And I said, actually, we take every 5th Tuesday off, because
it's not the 5th Tuesday.
And I said, and this came about under organic circumstances. It became clear today that it is necessary for us to take every 5th Tuesday off in order for us to have a healthy radio station where neither one of us is getting up too early on that 5th Tuesday. And this is just – so in the end, it was a blessing.
What do you mean by like 5th Tuesday as in like it doesn't matter what week of the month it is? It's just like – so it just so happened the 5th Tuesday landed on –
Yeah, it's not the 5th Tuesday of the month. Like it'll like be intermittently.
Right, but Dave, we took last Tuesday off.
Every other month is skipped.
We took last Tuesday off.
We took last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off.
Right.
And so that doesn't count because that's a separate interval. We take 3 days off every 4 weeks, and then we take on the 5th Tuesday we take that one off too.
How about we just do the show when we say we're going to do the show?
I'd like that, Brian, but obviously that's just not going to work. Like, again, this is organic circumstances. Nobody had to do – this is just the way that our sleep cycles lined up. I woke up at 8:30 today, so clearly we can't do the 5th Tuesday.
So, I don't want to harp on this for too long, but is the show totally based off your sleep, like when your body decides to wake up? Because if that's the case, we're never going to do the show.
No, that's not the case. Sorry. No, that is the case. And because if I don't wake up, we're not going to have the show. So that is, and I always do wake up, and those are the times that it's clear that that's what it was meant to be.
My point is, why don't you just plug in your phone?
That was the fates at work, and that's why we have every fifth Tuesday off. Now we know, so if anything, we've really just, like, this helped us to know what our forecast is.
So every fifth Tuesday, are you going to purposely not plug in your phone?
Now it's clear that it's every fifth one.
But are you going to do that on purpose now is what I'm asking, because at that point it's not organic.
No, this is the organic way that we found out how it will be going forward.
There's no way that if come five Tuesdays from now we take it off.
You don't think we're taking that off?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, I'm keeping track, Brandon. I'm going to accidentally...
All I'm saying is if you could give me a heads up, that'd be really great.
Well, this was the first one, Brandon. I'll let you know the heads up next time.
Fifth Tuesday.
I think that we are in an agreement at this point. Like we've met.
We're not even close to on the same page.
Well, maybe from your side we have, but I think we've pretty much agreed on this.
I think the only thing we agree on is the fact that we're both really excited about today's interview.
Let's agree to disagree on the agreement that we just came to.
Yeah. Hey, we got I don't want to mess up the name. I got to look this up really quick. I'm so sorry.
No, Brian, you know what it is. Do you want me to say it?
No.
It's Kiwani.
Kiwani Lapsaritis is on the show today to talk about Sasquatch and some form of telepathic way he communicates with
him. I like how you don't pluralize it. Just come talk about Sasquatch.
I don't know. Listen, like I don't know if it's one person. I don't know if it's a Sasquatch eye.
Sasquatch? Like the art of man, to talk about man. I guess that's right?
Rights.
He doesn't say to talk about men. You're talking about, like, the concept of man, the concept of Sasquatch.
Anyways, we are going to talk about that after this quick break. This is the Star Time Podcast. We do this every day, Monday to Friday, except for the fifth Tuesdays. We'll be back after this break. Hey, Dave. You know what me and my sweet wife talked about last night on the way home?
About how nice the carriage was?
No. We talked about Audible. Mm-hmm. True story. We decided, we did our free, this is true. This is 100% factual. We did our free trial of Audible. We went to audibletrial.com/paranormal. We created a free trial. We had it for a month, and we loved it. So much so that we went ahead, we canceled our gym membership so that we could go ahead and continue to do Audible.
You had a gym membership?
I did. We paid a lot of money for the YMCA, so we decided to quit that and go ahead and keep going with Audible. That's how much you love it. You're gonna do the free trial. You're going to go to audibletrial.com/paranormal. You're going to sign up through your Amazon account and get a free one-month trial, which includes a free audiobook. And you will love it so much, I guarantee you, you will figure out how to keep that subscription, even if it means not working out ever.
So, like, if you have a healthy mind, who needs a healthy body sort of thing?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. What are you going to do about it, Dave?
Brian, I've always had this, like, I know this is going to sound kind of, like, fanciful. I had always hoped to have kind of, like, a good body with holding a good brain. But now you've made it clear that I'm going to need to choose between the two.
Well, and, you don't have a good brain because you haven't even made your free account yet.
Well, no, I'm saying what I would want. That's why I said it's fanciful thinking, because I was misled into believing I could have both.
Yeah.
But at this point, knowing that I can only choose one, most people love me for my body, and I have to just really keep going with that one. So until, like, maybe we'll see if over time you can convince me, but for now I'm going to go ahead and keep my gym membership and just let my brain go to just nothing. You know what I mean?
I would just encourage you to go to audibletrial.com/paranormal, Dave, and just give it the 1 month.
Okay. Well, what would I do if I was?
audibletrial.com/paranormal, and you sign up through your Amazon account, which I know you have because you buy all that stuff, that whatnot.
At what?
You buy the stuff from Amazon?
Yeah.
So you can
buy my weights.
You got to buy your weights and your protein shake mix.
Off Amazon every day.
Yeah. So you can sign up through your Amazon account. It's a free 1 month trial that gives you a free Audible book. It's just that easy.
Okay. And
just try it, Dave. That's all I want to say. Just try it.
All right, Brian. I'm going to do it because you're my friend. You know what I mean?
Do what Dave does and do what millions of others have done and go to audibletrial.com/paranormal and sign up for your free Audible trial today.
It's great.
All right, we are back here on the Starry Time podcast with another exciting interview. This week, we could not be more excited. Isn't that right, Dave?
That's right, Brian.
We've got a real treat. We've talked about Bigfoot in the past, and I'm excited to dive into this topic a little bit more this week and get a better understanding of the Sasquatch. And to do that, we got Kiwani Laparitis tonight. He's all around just brilliant. He's been studying Sasquatch, Bigfoots, and ETs for a long time now. He's a world traveler, amateur naturalist, an avid backpacker with wilderness skills. And he spent 5 years out of the country living in England, East Africa, and Japan. And he has been studying the Yetis, the abdominal snowman, and the Sasquatch, of course. And in 1979, he has did the first telepathically contacting of a Sasquatch and an ET simultaneously, which I can't wait to get to. So without further ado, Kiwani, welcome to the Starry Time podcast tonight.
Welcome, yes, Kiwani. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's just dive on in. What exactly got you, before we dive into what that means when you say telepathically communicating, what got you interested in the in Bigfoot? Is that where you started going into Bigfoot, or was it just ETs in general? What got you going, and how did you get started?
Well, it was 60 years ago that I started doing the research, and it just interested me. It seemed very odd, and yet I viewed them immediately as a people, not as an animal, or certainly not a monster. Hmm. So I started to have some experiences with them, after my travels and stuff in the Amazon, Australia, and many other places, I started to settle down and go on expeditions. I'm a social scientist with 4 degrees, and I taught anthropology at a New England college back in the early 70s briefly. So I applied a lot of my knowledge there, and since I have wilderness skills, started mm-hmm. going in and out of the wilderness. And right away, I started having experiences. But just after coming back from an expedition, I was invited to visit some property in Wisconsin, where I was living at the time in Milwaukee, working for the urban First Nations peoples. And Indian people invited me out. They were had just bought some property and was going to have it blessed by a Potawatomi medicine man named Wallace Hiawassett. Nice. And so I was the only non-Indian there, and they were discussing the property and everything, and I started walking around the property, and when I did, a Sasquatch started talking to me, and I just said, "What?" And it was just as clear as can be, just like you hear me, but it was my head. And I'm looking around and I didn't see him. And I said, "Gee, I don't see him." And he said, "Well, but I am here. I am the Sasquatch man. And I've been watching you. And I've been watching you for longer than you know or understand right now."
Huh. And I thought, that's creepy.
So what's he talking about? Yeah. And then it stopped. And then right away, this more sophisticated voice said, "I am a star person. And right now, and I also have been watching you for many years, longer than you know or understand." So I'm looking around. It was a clear day, 65 degrees, first week of September. And I'm looking around. I says, "Geez, I don't see him." It is, "Oh, you don't see me because right now I'm in a spaceship just above you in another dimension." Hmm. And I just looked around. Of course, I still didn't see him, but I looked. And I realized every time I thought, he was answering me. So I thought, well, I guess this is telepathy. Now, when I went back to where the native people were talking and discussing things, and I kind of snuck in and sat down amongst them. There was only about, I think, seven or eight people. And so they knew I had gone for a walk, and they were all talking about how nice the property was and everything. And one of the medicine man said, "Oh, you know, you should build your sweat lodge over there." And he said, "No," the head of house who just bought the property said, "No, I will not build it there." And someone else spoke up and said, "Hey, that's really a nice place to build your sweat lodge." And the owner of the property said, "No, as I said, I will not build it there. The Star people are landing their spaceships there, and I don't want to disrupt their activity." Hmm. And I stood up and ran all the way back to the house, which was about 100 yards away almost, pretty close to it. And I was just in disbelief what was going on. And so I got permission to come back out on the property, and I started interviewing them because they were having experiences. But in the beginning, I thought, I'm never going to tell anyone, because who's going to believe me, right? This is September 1979. But it became ongoing, right. And they said, "I'm supposed to tell people. I'm supposed to write about it."
Interesting. So this is 1979, you said?
I did, but I started having more and more and more experiences, some of them bizarre, but always friendly, nice, and helpful even.
Right. And you said this is 1979 when you had this first encounter?
Yes.
So this is before, I mean, right now, obviously, you go on the internet and there's all sorts of communities for people who are interested in this type of stuff. This is before that. You almost had to do a lot of digging to find somebody to talk to about this stuff. So when this happened, who did you turn to? Who did you talk to about this that you could kind of confide in to try to figure out exactly what was going on?
Yeah, well, I confided in my best friend, a Professor Ed Meyer, and I was under training with him as a hypnotherapist, and we became good friends. And so he was very open-minded, and we discussed it, but I still at that time thought, well, I'll never really go beyond that to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
So here it's all in my two books, you know, the Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection was the first one. And then the Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection came out in 2011.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of information that you'll never get in any other book, because most of the researchers are after an animal, a monster that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're doing their thing, and that's fine, whatever they feel they need to do, but they'll always waste their time because they're interdimensional. They can read your mind. They can dematerialize. I've seen them dematerialize twice in front of me.
Wow.
So, other people have too. So it's, you know, in a sense for me, it's no big deal because I interact with them all the time here, even in my house where I live.
Sure.
So sometimes it's every day. Sometimes I may not hear from them for a week or two, but I see them walking around here in another dimension. So does my wife. So does my son.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay. So how does that work? I assume that you're correlating that the Bigfoots are essentially the same thing that a UFO hunter is looking for, and the same thing that a UFO hunter is what a Bigfoot, like, they're basically looking for the same thing and they're missing out on the connection. And
right,
so
they'll never connect because of their aggression. Some of them carry guns. Some of them even told me, "Well, I carry a gun, but it's only for a mountain lion and bear." And I said, "I don't care what it's for. You have a gun and they won't contact you. I don't care if you're Mr. Nice Guy."
Hmm.
They won't get near people with a gun. So you got to respect them. They don't have guns and stuff, and they, you know, that's what they requested. Of course, I don't get involved with guns or anything like that. But I've had all kinds of experiences with them, and they've saved my life numerous times. And it's just very different. It's, my life is, in some regard, almost like a science fiction movie. But the only difference is it's all for real,
right?
And since September of 1979, I've documented 354 people that have had a psychic telepathy, psychic experiences and mental telepathy, and 17% of that 354 had ET or UFO related experiences with it, because sometimes the Sasquatch would come and visit people and there'd be one, two, or three ETs with them.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And I've okay. seen seven different races of ETs, and my wife, I think, six different races and her experiences with them.
And so,
yeah, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate.
And why do you think that they, I don't know exactly what the, how the dimensions work, but it seems as though the Bigfoot portion of, or like the, I guess when they're in this dimension, when people are seeing them as a Sasquatch, they tend to hang out in the woods and such, or that's where they're usually seen. Do you know, or do you have any insights in your research and experience as to why they're being so elusive in the woods, aside from just trying, I mean, like you said, they're scared of people with guns, but like, what are they even doing on Earth to begin with? Is there a purpose they have, do you think?
Well, it's because, first of all, this is their planet, and they were here first, and they were helping us in the beginning. But a lot of that changed, and with different governmental practices way, way back. I'm talking about way back. And some of the our people, the humans, started to hunt them. So they started to regress to a point where they became a myth. So they didn't want to ever show themselves unless they accidentally ran into somebody. But their experiences with us have always been negative. For example, when the pioneers came, they've never seen a Sasquatch. So the Sasquatch never saw a white person. So they step out and look at the person and just look, you know, just like you run across a deer or something, the deer stops and turns around and looks at you. Well, they pull up their gun and started wounding Sasquatch, shooting at them. So they spread the word to other tribes of Sasquatch to stay away from these crazy people. So they don't know who we are, but they don't want to know, apparently. They just want to kill us. Mm. So why should they show themselves? So they don't. Anyway, only if they want to. Like, I had my 9th physical sighting on March 6th on a Sunday, 2:05 in the afternoon. My wife, Kelly, lapsaritis, was with me. And it was black, and about walking along at, in the edge of a field by a house, actually. There's nobody there. And about 50 yards, roughly, from the forest. And he was coal black and about 7 or a little over 7 foot tall and looking at us. And when we got back, there was a message from Canada saying that we're going to be visited by a Sasquatch named Camus. And he's coal black and he's about 7 foot tall. And so we emailed him back up in Canada, up in Quebec, and said, oh, we just saw him this afternoon. So these things are going on, and we have different ones visiting us. I have a guide. His name is Snowhawk. He's 10.5 feet tall, and he's got blonde hair, kind of blonde tan hair all over his body. And his wife or mate, as they have made a braid down one side. But he has a human face. He's very handsome because he's not a Sasquatch. He is an ancient one. And that's the difference. The other researchers don't have a clue how many different types are out there. Because they're too busy chasing them away, pushing them away with their aggression and wanting photographs or wanting a body and that kind of thing. So they stay clear and they'll never amount to anything in what they do. And I wish them all the best that maybe if they change their attitude, they might start having some experiences and anyway, it would change their lives. Sure. Like it's changed my life. And
right. So, I mean, like I said in the intro, we talked to one other person who he would say he hunts them and tries to find them and take pictures and stuff. And he sees it strictly as a cryptozoology study. This is an animal that we don't fully understand. You have a totally different view of it, which is fascinating. Do you, as you see pictures and videos and stuff like that on the internet of Bigfoots, as far as what these guys are hunting and trying to take pictures of, do you are the thing that they're going after this a similar looking being as what you are interacting with, and they just don't understand it, or is it a totally separate entity? Like they are actually trying to find what they're looking at is actually an animal, whereas you're actually interacting with a person. Does that make sense?
Yes. First of all, I'm a cryptoanthropologist, not a cryptozoologist, so I am interested in a lot of unknown animals.
Okay.
My whole background, I have a degree in conservation, and I minored in biology on one of the colleges, almost enough to have another degree. But I've read every book in the library by age 16 on animals worldwide, and then I end up living all over the world and seeing these animals and going on numerous safaris in East Africa and everything.
Yeah.
But with this is different because these different beings, even what people refer to as werewolves or dog face or wolf face people, they are part of all this. There is a group of them that is different races of beings that have been living on this planet for ages, way longer than we have. And they walk on two legs and they look like a werewolf, but they're not, and they don't hurt people. I've had people say that they've hurt them and this and that, and I ask them, well, what happened? He says, well, there was a ruckus in the barn at night, and a woman went out with a flashlight, and when she walked around a horse trailer, she startled the dog face one, and he pushed her, and she just fell against the trailer, and he ran, but he just... She was almost on top of him, and it startled him. So he could have ripped her to pieces. But they don't do that. It's just we've got to get over the fact that how they look is not how they act.
Mm.
One said to one of the contactees, he said, we are soft. I know at times we look scary, but our hearts are soft.
Mm.
And because of mental telepathy, there's an interconnectedness with all the different beings, even the little people that are out there. And the little people are also interdimensional. And they have, when I was in Oklahoma in the Kayamishi wilderness, Haloti, a female ancient one who's a shamaness, told me that every fall they have a corn festival and they pick corn from the farmer's field, and they get together and get food and odds and ends together, but a lot of corn, and have a corn gathering. And she says, that's when the Sasquatch come and the little people. And I asked her something about the Sasquatch. And she says, oh yes, they have a different language, but I know their talk, she said.
Hmm.
So she also said, which startled me at the time, about 10 years ago, she said, well, in the little people have gemstones that they get in the earth, and the Sasquatch like them, and they trade. So we come together in the fall, every fall, and trade and eat, it's kind of a spiritual gathering. So get this. Doesn't that sound like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs going off to get gemstones? Well, guess what? It isn't that... what happened is that people interacted with little people years ago more than they ever do today. And when we weren't as aggressive, we were more tuned to Mother Earth and living in the country and all that. So they knew in Europe even that there were little people out there. So they started talking about it and talking to their children about it. And it became a fairy story when it's really true.
Mm.
So this, you say that the Sasquatch, the different species of Sasquatch have been around a lot longer, I should say, than humans. And they kind of were there to help us as we were young to develop, and they've kind of been in the background. And you've also said that they're nice. They don't want to hurt us. They just don't want us to hurt them either. Now, Would you say that they are in any way a higher being than us? Or are they just like an, are they just this kind of equal field? I don't know how, like how spiritual you are of a person, but I just don't know if you kind of correlate them into your religion, because you've also said that they've changed your life so much. So I didn't know if those things go hand in hand.
Well, they're about 100 times more evolved than we are. They're more human. They're more human than we are. That is, they don't go around murdering each other. They don't start wars. And they don't destroy the environment, which sustains them like we do. So we've got a lot to learn, because the planet's dying right now. And they are coming out. In their words, they said, we're contacting the light bearers, meaning the light workers. People of a higher vibrational frequency that to work to help the planet, and they want to help the planet. They said that some of the ETs went to the heads of government years ago to talk to them, to tell them you got to stop all this warring and stop destroying the planet and all this. And they the snowball was getting bigger, and it's not, they couldn't stop it. And so it's too little, too late. So here we are at a point, you know, the Sasquatch told me back in 1985, he said, if you people don't stop soon, by 1990, the whole environment will be at a point of no return. And if the environment goes, we go, and then they go. But the thing is that there will be ETs to help out. They were the first people here, they said. They said that they were bioengineered, and then when they said they were seated here first back during the age of the dinosaurs, and the proof of that, they said, is the footprints in Paloxi, Texas, the 24-inch footprints, the perfect human footprints. Dinosaur footprints that are 65 million years old.
Right.
And so I said, well, what about the hairless giants? He says, they came much later, just before your people came. You people were seated, he said. The word, you keep using the word seated, which I, coming from a Darwinian standpoint back then, it startled me. I mean, I didn't know what to make of it. I had to digest it. I knew what he meant, but I wasn't going to buy into it, but this is how they talk all these years. So I read Zachariah Sitchin's book a month later, The 12th Planet. And so I stopped having doubts of what they were telling me, even though it seemed, you know, science fiction or fantasy stuff. They talked about Atlantis. They talked about Lemuria, all of that stuff. They were here then. They said all of this started in Lemuria. We were bioengineered there, and so were they in Lemuria. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot that I don't understand. And they said that soon they want to take me to live with them and to come back and write my third book about them when I have more information, when they take me through a portal to another dimension where they dwell.
That leads me to another question that I have. So if they're far more advanced than we are, then they kind of consider this place our home, why do you think that they are so, not willing to hurt us or whatever, that they've let us develop technology out of the earth that's kind of, I don't know, it seems more advanced than theirs. I don't know if they just have like more organic forms of technology. I would also ask, how do they like go between dimensions if that's more of like
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll stop there and then I can follow up after this.
Let's see here. I don't want to lose my train of thought. First of all, they don't interfere with us because of karma. They started talking to me about karma, the ETs did back in 1984. Then soon after that, the Sasquatch often would talk about karma and the importance of it to resolve issues and balance one's energy with the universe somehow. So you say, well, why did they allow us to, you know, form technology, which they don't use technology, they don't care. But it's because they don't control us and we don't control them. We want to, the government does and so on, but that's evil stuff. It's not good stuff to do. It's not a good attitude to have towards other beings. I know the government already has a few of these beings, both ETs and Sasquatch. So, of course, they won't admit anything, but they absolutely do. So we're out of control now. They said greed and power has overtaken people, and mostly people that work in the governments and so forth, and also corporate. These big corporations own the government in many ways. So they know that, and they know that all that corruption is just causing more pollution and more problems for the planet. You see, capitalism is a dinosaur. It's based on natural resources. When the resources start running out, wait a minute, then everybody, all the countries want the resources. They won't say, they give different reasons why they're attacking a country or getting involved when we wonder, what, how come they're involved, you know? And well, it's because of natural resources mostly, or strategic areas for more war. I mean, this is all they think about, because they make money on war while the rest of the population has to suffer. They're losing their husbands and sons and so forth for nothing, for baloney. It's just a power play. It's like some kind of a chess game. So it's just to get more money and power and stuff. And it's kind of sick that that's how people think.
Right.
Where the Sasquatch say that we must find our purpose and fulfill our purpose here and to try and to work towards helping the planet to heal.
Sure.
And that's the most important thing. And to forgive all these people who are destroying the planet. They said that's also extremely important.
Right. So let me ask you this. Why are they so selective in who they telepathically communicate with? Because, and like, this has obviously changed your life and changed your way of thinking. Would it not be helpful to telepathically communicate with a higher up who could then put that way of thinking and flow it down into the rest of America, the way of thinking of peace? Could he not telepathically communicate with the president or members of Congress, that there could be actually some instillment of change through telepathically communicating?
I mean, I'll just keep this short, but they tried. I don't know who they went to or which people, you know, but they couldn't do anything. Again, everything's in motion in a very negative way, and you just can't stop it, you know. So we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And they said, you know, they told me stay away from all coastlines, that all of them all over the world are going to be are very dangerous places to be, because the plates are shifting, and we're in trouble there too.
Right.
And they spoke of a eventual pole shift here coming up sometime. I don't know when.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Have you met other people, or how many other people have you met who have been able to hear telepathically what you have heard? Have you met people outside of your own, because you said your wife has and your son have, anybody outside of that family that have seen and heard what you've heard?
Yes, I've documented 354 percipients who've had telepathic experiences. Three of them were physicians, one was an attorney, another three were college professors, two of them were scientists, and then people from all walks of life. And very, very few is it ongoing.
Okay.
I'll just say, maybe right now I can think of six or seven that's ongoing. 17% of that are people who've had experiences with ETs as well, or UFOs at the same time.
Yeah. So of the 300 plus, I just wanted to get to this point. Of the 300 plus that have had that communication, have you seen that in them the same worldview change almost, or at least the same way that you think of let's try to instill peace? Are all 300, have they had that sort of change, or have some heard and walked away?
A few have walked away out of fear because they didn't understand, but basically they look at your soul to see where you're at there and who you are on a soul level. Then they are attracted to that and they want to nurture and open a person up. So they opened my Kundalini back in 79. So the other people, they did the same thing. So it changes. You're not the same.
Yeah.
When they started talking to my wife, she says it changed her. She was living down in Arkansas at the time.
Right.
So she'd be hiking in the Ozarks and they would approach her and talk with her.
Right. The point I'm trying to get to, I guess, is why not communicate to as many people as possible? Since there's obviously a heart change that seems to happen, why aren't they communicating with as many people as they can for the sake of
but the change?
Okay, so
yeah, they told me 8 or 10 years ago that they're going to be contacting more and more people, more light bearers that are ready, that could. Are willing to help the planet and put positive energy into all this. So they absolutely are. If you feel left out, don't. you know, it's everyone can change on their own and grow and spiritually. And it takes, in a sense, letting go of a lot of the past, any past negative emotions and things that a person may be holding on to, and to shift into a different mode of giving and helping and reaching out to others, and do as much as you can for the planet and for people, whether it's reading to an elderly person that's going blind in a nursing home every week, or helping a neighbor doing something. And so it's reaching out and doing that. They said it's the most important thing that's human, very human, to be more humanistic. And people of my ilk and others that are already helping people. They go to healers as well. And I am a master herbalist and a health consultant. So just like the shamans, they go to the shamans. In ancient times, and with the First Nations people, they'd go to a shaman or shamaness and talk to them, because they were giving of themselves. They had compassion. They had empathy. They had respect for all living things and on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do different healings shamanically, they're there talking and giving me advice and helping. And this is wonderful, because nobody knows, you know, but me during that time. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to know, as long as someone can help them. I remember a time when I was living in a cabin in the Oregon Cascades, and it was in the wilderness. And I had met some people a couple of months before, who also lived in the wilderness, but they were a friend of a friend, and so I was just there tagging along, and I knew them just on the surface. We were only there about 30 minutes. So one night at 2:45 in the morning, the man called me up and said, "My wife is dying. Could you please help?" I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, she's having a asthmatic attack. She has asthma, and she has 2 or 3 a month, but they're just little things. This is the worst ever. She's had it for 4 days, going on 5 days, and she can't eat or do anything. She's gasping for air." We went to the ER. He knew acupressure. They also went acupuncture. They went to a naturalist. They went everywhere, and nobody could help them. Even shots and stuff at the ER never helped. So I thought for a minute, and a Sasquatch was listening in on the phone and said, "We can help you. Go ahead." So I said, "Okay." He said, "Can you come over right now?" I said, "Yes, I'll get dressed and come over." So while I'm driving down the road, the Sasquatch are talking to me. And I said, "Look, this sounds really serious, and I don't haven't had anything quite like this. Will you help me? And he said, yes, we will help you. And I said, well, where are you right now? He says, we're in a spaceship following you. We're above you in a ship with our star people friends. And so I said, well, would they help? He said, yes, please don't worry. Just go. So I just drove on. And when I got there, they had three little kids already. And when I went into the bedroom to see her, I couldn't believe it. She was a living skeleton, looked like out of the concentration camps. And she couldn't breathe. Her eyes were sunk black into her head, and she was gasping for air. And he told me, don't try to talk to her. She can't talk. She's exhausted. So I sat down, knelt down, prayed, and protected myself, and then started my shamanic thing and picked up my two crystals. And when I glanced over my shoulder, there were three Sasquatch and two ETs standing in a semicircle behind me. And they were ready. So I built up the energy and reached over, touched with one crystal her chest and the other at the base of her cervical spine, her neck. And she took one sigh, just one deep breath, and started breathing normal. I mean, the husband was stunned by this, but I didn't say anything, but I was stunned because, yes, I was a conduit. He kept saying, oh, you did this, you did that. I couldn't tell him that I really didn't do it. I mean, I did it. I was a part of that, but it saved her life. So they were poor, so I wouldn't charge them anything. And 2 days later, she called me up and invited me over for dinner. So I did, and they were leaving to another state to move. And so I said goodbye to them and so forth. Well, a year went by, and I was in a organic food store shopping, and I see these three kids running around, and I looked over, and there she was. So I went over to her, and I said, hi, what's going on? And she said, well, it didn't work out, the job that my husband had, so we love it here, so we moved back. I said, that's wonderful. I says, incidentally, I said, how is your asthma? She says, I don't have it anymore since that time that you came. She said, I don't have asthma anymore. Hmm. She had it her whole life.
That was so it.
These are very satisfying. I don't need money when you have that kind of satisfaction and that much feeling of love towards people that you really want to help, and that all that, and they're, and the Sasquatch people and the friendly ETs were right there wanting us to get well, wanted people to get well through us. So they're out there, and they're contacting a lot of people right now, but only those that have the right stuff, so to speak.
And I'm still a little confused, I guess, on the connection between the Sasquatch and the extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. because it seems like the extraterrestrials are big conduits of technology. Obviously, they have all the spaceships and stuff. How are the Sasquatches able to travel without technology? And why are they against the thing that the people that planted them have technology? Then why are they so against technology?
Because they're a nature people. They're an interdimensional nature people that are extremely evolved. And there's a lot of information that they gave a couple of months ago that's on my website, www.sasquatchpeople.com. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information on what they said. Just too short a span here on radio to share it all.
Sure.
But it's a lot of basic spiritual stuff that they're into and that they care, but they simply want the planet to go back to nature again, but it's not happening. It's getting worse rather than, better. But they'd never give up. They said no matter what, they're going to continue on. Now, the ETs that have the technology, the Sasquatch often are aboard the ships. They recruit a Sasquatch or two from different clans periodically to work with them, because they could flip a car with one arm. They could just reach down and flip it over in an instant as if it was a toy. So they can pick up huge boulders And the ETs for millennia, for eons, basically have been mining the planet in different places. I know some of the places even. So they, I never really asked them about what they were mining in some of these areas. And but anyway, they do, and the Sasquatch people and the ancient ones do the heavy lifting.
Interesting.
Right. Okay. So if the Sasquatch, I just am curious. What would you say their sheep? You said that they're a very nature loving and stuff. So at the expense of letting the planet, which seems like the biggest thing for them, fall to pieces, they didn't stop us. When in the end, it would have been better for them, for us, and for the planet if they somehow intervened, even in like some kind of like non-aggressive way, but more of like a telepathic to try and just switch our thinking. Why have they sat idly by and kind of like at this point they've done nothing and now we're all
They're not sitting idly by. They are keeping the planet together on the ley lines. It's electromagnetic, and they have they're extremely evolved beyond anybody. That you can make up stuff, and they're evolved beyond that even. I've seen them do things that that are magic to the average person. And keep in mind, I asked them to help me on something, and they turned and walked away, and I was a little puzzled. Later, when I asked them, I said, "Geez, how come you didn't help me? I really needed your help." And they said, "No, you made the right decision without us, and we wanted you to do it without us, because if we'd have helped you in this particular situation, then your karma would become our karma, and that would be heavy on us. The idea is for you to learn the lessons so that you resolve karma, not give it to somebody else," kind of thing. So there's a lot of energy stuff going on that the average person doesn't understand, and you don't, because of the questions you're asking, which is fine. You're not to know. I'm still learning. I'm still learning from them, learning from the ETs and so on. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah. So clearly, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, I only asked that because you were the one that said that they were mad, that they were worried that we were doing that. So I was going off what you said, and now it sounds like you're
But they don't interfere. They don't interfere.
Because of karma.
They have like a partial control over it.
Have a partial
what? So they're like kind of keeping it together to some degree, but they're not like, it's still kind of in peril a little bit, and that's why they're trying to recruit us?
Well, they're working all the time to keep the planet together. Keep in mind, we're out of control with extreme low frequency radiation. We're out of control with nuclear radiation. We're out of control with sonar. We're killing animals. They're dying all over the planet. Mm-hmm. Wake up, people. This is horrible. It's horrible. You just don't feel it yet. We're all going to feel it because we're all going to die on this thing. This is how serious it is.
Right. So clearly they care deeply about karma. If they were to interfere, because you said that they walked away from something that you thought that they should intervene in because they were worried about the bad karma. So what is something that could happen to them bad karma-wise that would affect them? Because they seem like they're pretty in control of things. What's something bad that could happen to them that they're worried about as far as bad karma goes?
I can't answer that question. And besides, I don't want to go there and speculate.
I don't know. Okay.
The answer basically is I don't know.
Okay. I just didn't know if something had happened in the past that had caused them to, there's good karma, bad karma. Have they experienced?
Well, yeah, they've been hunted down. They're trying to kill them. The government's still trying to kill them. There's special ops that are out there. You don't understand. I know you don't, and that's okay. But they're trying to push the Sasquatch people and the ancient ones into extinction.
Mm-hmm.
There's reasons for it, which I won't get into right now. Because I don't understand all of it myself. They're only spoon feeding me.
Right. As somebody who obviously hasn't been communicated with telepathically, kind of before we wrap up, explain exactly what it's like to be communicated to telepathically. And just, have you seen your telepathic communication evolve over the years as you've continued to have conversations with them? And just kind of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I mean, most of the time they don't speak to me on a day-to-day basis or to my wife, but then there's times that they have. There are three kinds of telepathy, and I've experienced all three at once. There's visual telepathy, mm-hmm. there's verbal telepathy, and there's feeling telepathy, which is clairsentience. So often I will feel them there before they start talking. So here's an example. My second book, when I had my editor at my house, she wanted to camp out and experience the Sasquatch people. So nothing had happened. She was there for 2 nights, 3 days, and nothing happened. Now, in the evenings, I told her I go speed walking. And this was semi-wilderness at the time and where I lived, and in the Washington Cascades. So she went hiking with me or walking that evening. It was in June. And so I was walking right along, and she was asking me questions like you are about them and so forth. And I said, well, you know, you can feel them ahead of time. And she said, no, I didn't. At night when I was there, I didn't feel them. So while we're walking along, I have a tendency, especially when I was teaching college, to when I gave a theory or explained something, I often would go into a story. I'm a storyteller and would explain via a story. So she asked me some stuff, and I tried to explain to her. Then I said, hey, look, this is how it could be. And so I started telling her a story about it. And there were two ancient ones that were following me down the road interdimensionally. They were invisible, but they were 6, 7, 8 feet behind us. So I stopped in the middle of telling the story to my editor, and I said, they're here. Now, do you feel them now? My whole body's vibrating. Do you feel them? She said, well, no, I don't. She said, don't you feel them? I mean, and I started to explain to her. And then one of the ancient ones says, never mind us. Finish the story. They were bored, probably just watching over me and stuff. And they were interested in me finishing the story. They liked it. So there are people. They joke with us. In 2012, I had a brain tumor. I started taking my own herbs that have dissolved brain tumors in the past, and they said it wasn't leaving quick enough. So the ETs took me 6 times and dissolved the tumor.
Oh, wow.
So they're always helping us in one way or another.
One last question for me. Have you mentioned that you've talked like telepathically to the Sasquatch? But do the extraterrestrials have a similar capability, or do the Sasquatches act as kind of like a medium between the two of you?
You don't understand telepathy. It's connected to everybody and everything that's telepathic.
So are the aliens telepathic? They are too, of course, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
All of those people, the little people, if they're doing other things, then they're not tuned in. But if they're tuned in, they get all the messages too, depending on what they're doing and everything. Because it's all one interconnected system. It's like a biological cell phone already in their brain. And visualizing them is their phone number, their personal phone number, just visualization. And then you can talk to them and wait to see if you get an answer. I mean, it's often it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it does, depending on the person. Sometimes one woman in Colorado was having experiences, and I was helping her. And it took 9 months before they would talk to her because she was filled with fear.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dave, did you have a follow-up? I don't know where Dave just went. I felt like he had a follow-up. Dave? I think we lost him. We're
sorry about that. My the front door to my house has got issues, and somebody was contacting me. But I'm good. The final thing I had was I still wanted to know are the Sasquatches able to, when they travel between dimensions, is that only within one space they go between dimensions, or do they go, like, can they travel to where aliens are in other locations? You know what I mean? Like, can they travel far distances that way too?
There's a certain amount of limitation to that. They can teleport. They said they have access to 8 different dimensions. So they can teleport. They can astral project. They can dematerialize and still be there. When they disappear and they're not there, that's because they teleported to another area. But there's a certain limitation. They also go through portals, different portals that lead to other dimensions. So they have all this. There's a tremendous amount of information in both of my books, The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection, and The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. And they can get that by going to www.sasquatchpeople.com. There's also www.psychicsasquatch.com that has information. We have my wife and I are putting on a conference called the Spiritual and Psychic Sasquatch Conference, which would be September 17th of this year in Chewila, Washington. It's 50 miles north of Spokane. They can get all this information on our website, especially the SasquatchPeople.com. They are very, very excited because it's all about the real Sasquatch. No more baloney, no more let's go shoot him up and, oh, look, I got a picture, even though you can't tell if it's a guy in a suit or what it is. And but I got this picture. And then later you find out it's a fake. And, none of that stuff. It's the real deal. And there'll be lots of people. And every speaker will be someone who experienced the psychic Sasquatch numerous times. And most of them, it's ongoing. In fact, all of them are ongoing that'll be speaking.
Great. I mean, we were gonna wrap up and have you do all that. So you knocked it out of the park. We really do appreciate it. I hope you found our questions not offensive, but just that we were trying to understand further, because this is unlike anything we've actually interviewed before. So it was very informative, and thank you so much for being so thorough and understanding with us as we try to understand more, not just Sasquatch, but also talking to them telepathically. So thank you so much for being a part.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. I thank you. I was going to read something from my first book to wrap it up. Do I have enough time?
Absolutely.
For that,
no, I'd love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd like to just, at the end of my first book that came out in 1998, this is by a physicist named Lincoln Barnett. And in 1948, he wrote the book, The Universe and Dr. Einstein. And this is what he says in his book, which I finish my book, the first book, with this quote. And I quote, "There seemed to be no process of nature which could not be described in terms of ordinary experience, illustrated by a concrete model or predicted by Newton's amazingly accurate laws of mechanics. But before the turn of the past century, certain deviations from these laws became apparent. And though these deviations were slight, they're of such a fundamental nature that the whole edifice of Newton's machine-like universe began to topple. The certainty that science can explain how things happen began to dim about 20 years ago. And right now it is a question whether scientific man is in touch with reality at all or can ever hope to be," end quote.
Fantastic. Great quote to end the interview. I appreciate it so much.
Wonderful.
And we look forward to sending people your way. Sasquatchpeople.com. Is that correct?
Yes. They can order my books there. And there's a lot of information to read. And I encourage people to read that. And of course, my whole story is in the books and everything.
Sure. Appreciate it so much. You have a wonderful evening, and thanks for joining us on Starry Time.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You have a good one.
Bye-bye now.
And that was Kiawana Lapsaritis here on the Starry Time. That was one of the most unique interviews we've had for numerous reasons. Just really interesting, really fascinating. Dave, your initial thoughts immediately following the interview.
Well, he got me good, Bran. There's just, I mean, like you said, there's so many things that I don't understand very clearly, like that. It seems like there's, in order to really grasp what he's talking about, it takes like something else, like a very, like, you have, basically, it seems like you really have to have experienced them, which we've already kind of felt that way. But with his descriptions, it seems like even more so, because he is grasping, you know, all the concepts of what they are doing and that their aura or whatever it is. And he's like, he's saying that there's no way for us to really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and I really don't. I think that it's very, like, it's just a very, very complex thing. I don't think we've had this many layers.
It's before. Very usually layers.
We've dealt with each of these items isolated, but to have them all together, like, it's just, it's a puzzle that I'm not even, I don't understand how to even go about putting those things together. But he really has clearly thought things through to put them all. He's managed to get them all together. What are your thoughts, Bran?
Yeah, layered. You got karma, multidimensional technologies, no technology, telepathic, Sasquatch, ET, all in 45 minutes. It was a lot to digest, to say.
How about the story where he was going to heal that woman, and then there was a Sasquatch that was telepathically communicating with him while they were kind of following him in a saucer?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I mean, the fascinating stories, fascinating man. Skeptically, as a skeptics podcast, I don't even know what to, make of it. But yeah, it was very layered, there was just a lot. And I don't know if even if we talked to him for 3 hours, I think I would still leave with a lot of questions, more questions than answers, probably.
I think it's similar to kind of the flat earth guy in that somehow within his main thing, like the flat earth, it was flat earth. Like that was the main thing. The main thing is we're in a dome. But and then with this guy, it's Sasquatches. But then within that, all the other conspiracies fall within it. Like, you know, Atlantis really is also a thing. The government really does have aliens.
Snow White.
Like all, Snow White, right. Well, I don't, yeah. So, like, all those things, that it's like they fit in. And that's the part that I have the hardest time. It's like I don't understand how those things coincide. Especially that was true with the flat earth guy, because remember we were like, how that, like the last second, like, oh, you do believe in the extraterrestrials, like coming in on their UFOs. It just is like, if I was having a hard enough time grasping what it is, and then to throw something else in there that almost like just at surface level seems like it completely contradicts the thing. It just like it takes so much, but like we didn't have time to kind of fit that one in. But you know, he mentioned all that other stuff. As time has gone on, like all the different conspiracies that and how they're related, and it's just something else, man.
Yeah, I mean, and I just really hope he didn't feel like we were attacking him at all, because really we were just trying to understand more of the thinking. So hopefully we didn't come across that way. I hope not.
No, I think he was just making sure that we understood that we don't understand
right
what we were talking about.
That's like fair. That was absolutely fair. And that's actually true of most things in life. We need to be reminded that we don't understand much.
I think that what the by nature, when you interview, you try and we're trying to put it in terms that people like us would understand. So we kind of try and summarize things, but we're going to get that wrong. Of course, like I listened to what he said and I'm like, is this what it is? Just to make sure. And then it's not. So that's
right.
That's,
I mean, anytime you spend your life studying something, you forget how difficult it is. Like you have a good understanding of something and you feel like it's easy to understand because you do understand it fully. and you understand how, or you forget how many layers there are to actually getting to where you were. So we were at the very beginning stages of where he was in 1979, when he began the whole journey. So many years removed, that's where we are just trying to even ask questions about it. So,
he's been writing books about it, Brian, longer than we've been alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. So very interesting, very fascinating, and just really thankful that he came on and spent some time with us. Dave, that's it. We'll be back Thursday and Friday for some news, Lord willing. And then we'll take the weekend off. But boy, just another week, another interview, another blast.
I understand, Brandon. I agree.
Dave, thanks for hanging out with me, friend.
Hey, Brian, go have another good day tomorrow.
Okay. From Greenville, South Carolina.
Brooklyn.
It's the Start Time Podcast.
Yes.